Whether you're in search of a great new bottle of wine or you want a rundown of the best brunch spots in the area, Mike and Stu have the answer. With a combined half century in the industry, they bring their wealth of experience to bring you the latest trends, expert opinions, and interviews with people in the know. They are the dynamic duo of dining.
Oh, it's a wine and food show, Stu.
It's a food and wine show, trust me.
Look right here, it's Sip and Chew. It's wine and food.
Because Chew rhymes with Stew, that's the only reason.
Oh, you glorified fry cook.
Yeah, grape killer.
Now it's time to Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu on FM Talk 106.5.
Bob Omansky. Happy Christmas, Bob.
Bob Aran, Bob.
Bob's Diner, great place.
Good morning, folks. Welcome to the Sip and Chew Show. We are not the Bob and
Bob Show.
The show with focus.
But, hey. You just reminded me of something. There used to be a museum called the Museum of Bob.
Was it based on J.B. Bob Dobbs, who was a short-lived character from a 50s show that looked a lot like the...
Nope. It was things cigar. That start with the word Bob.
Oh, okay.
And you go in there and there's a bobcat. Mm-hmm. There's some bob wire. Yeah. There's a bobby skirt.
A bobbin.
Everything that starts with the word Bob, it's the Bob Museum. And yes. I don't know if that's still around or not. But
why are we telling this?
You remember the old days of cable TV when USA Network had Up All Night?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
They did a thing about once a month about the cult of J.B. Bob Dobbs.
Mm-hmm.
Which was, he looked, what was it, My Three Sons, right, Charlie?
What about My Three Sons?
Who was the
Robbie?
Star? No, who was the star?
Fred McMurray.
Yeah. Guy looked a lot like Fred McMurray. You know, the hat that they wore in the 50s, a cigar hanging out of his mouth, black suit, mm-hmm. thin white tie. I never saw any episode of it, but they had a fictional cult devoted to him where they all praised Bob. And they had a chant that they would do... Reach in your pants. Reach in your pants. Pull out your wallet. Praise Bob and dance.
Hmm. Yeah.
And it was one of those weird things that USA Night Flight used to have on all the
Isn't
time.
Isn't it like, amazing
apparently,
stuff?
Like the lady, to bring it back to food, the lady that was in the cafeteria and she was serving up either potatoes or tomatoes.
Mm-hmm.
And she went stir crazy from going taters, tomatoes. And she just, you know, the first 3 minutes, just every time someone walks up, she goes taters, tomatoes. And then all of a sudden she goes... Alligator, instigator, and she just comes up where they drag her off of the cafeteria line, and she's going agitator, and she lost her mind serving taters. And
that was after my generation, I guess.
Yeah,
isn't it amazing how we keep all this stuff in our brains?
Useless stuff.
Yeah,
absolutely useless.
Well, this is after the advent of color television, Mike.
I guess. Yeah.
Fred McMurray came just like that.
Yeah.
See, I remember that.
Inquiring Minds.
I was surprised to watch. I used to watch old Westerns, and mm-hmm. I'd record them when I'd see them coming on the VHS
mm-hmm.
and watch them on my weekends. And there was one, and it was like the Klondike or something. And Fred McMurray was the actor, the lead actor. I'm like, that's the dude from My Three Sons. How am I supposed to buy him as a frontiersman? And my dad said, he did a lot of this before he did My Three Sons. Just enjoy it. It was a very good movie.
I watch Grit Channel a lot. And last night I saw Ronald Reagan. He was like a U.S. soldier.
His Death Valley days. He was the host of that.
Well, the Big Valley, you had Clint Eastwood played in the Big Valley.
No, he didn't.
No,
he
Virginia.
Played on Bonanza.
Played on Virginia. He played on all those.
Clint Eastwood was on
Wagon Train.
Rawhide.
Rawhide, that's
Rawhide. Big Valley was Lee Majors,
mm-hmm.
Later the Bionic Man.
Later on. And then I saw an Elvis Presley Western yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, when I was a child.
Ricky Nelson did a Western with John Wayne.
Mm-hmm. Which I can remember back that far. Some of those early TV shows were my heroes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a couple of years ago I came across the Cisco Kid.
Yeah.
And immediately Cisco. I felt, Poncho.
Oh, Poncho.
And, but it was like I had that same kind of feeling because it had been instilled so many years ago.
Yeah.
You know, and it was a pretty corny show when you watch it today.
My dad said he always loved Tex Ritter.
Oh, yeah.
Until he saw a movie one time and Tex Ritter's hat actually got knocked off in the bar fight and he had a bald spot. And he said it just broke his heart.
Because the guy with the white hat never loses his hat.
Yeah. Yeah, they never lost their hat in the movies.
Yeah.
A lot of those guys were tiny, too. Alan Ladd was like, what, 5'2"?
Mm-hmm.
Great actor.
I saw some westerns with Adam West in it.
Oh, yeah. He had quite a career before he did Batman. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
And so that was a wonderful food and beverage talk. Did y'all win some kind of championship game recently?
We may have, yeah.
Yeah, I saw you rooting for Tua in the Heisman last night, and then Kyle Murray won it from Oklahoma, a guy who hasn't faced a top 50 defense yet. That's fantastic.
Just wait.
He's about to.
He's about to. Mm-hmm.
You know the history of the Heisman winner when they go up against a Heisman runner-up in postseason.
Usually it's a curse.
Yeah, they usually get embarrassed.
Yeah.
Kyle Murray about to get embarrassed. I bet he has more interceptions than he does touchdowns.
We'll see.
By a large number.
I'm looking forward to it.
Because I could see him maybe if he gets hot and y'all are off, them scoring two touchdowns. Maybe. But, my gosh, if y'all bring the heat.
They might score one TD at the end of the game.
I know they average almost 50 points a game. But, my gosh, the defenses in the Big 12. They don't have 11 players in the entire Big 12 that can field a defense worthy of getting a scholarship. They're terrible. Charlie, I don't know if you paid any attention, but Oklahoma's last three or four games, they had to score 50 to win.
Oh, yeah.
Because 47, they would have lost.
The Texas game was a perfect example.
Yeah. It's just and what they fixing to run into.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
But
and I see Urban Meyer is retiring again. Yeah. So that must mean Ohio State is in a lot of trouble.
Well, I got to tell you, that Alabama-Georgia game,
that's
really,
football.
We can talk about that forever, but Georgia should have been in the Final Four as well. But then I don't know if I want her to rematch.
last year when we beat the pants off of them and then rematched them, we did not enjoy the rematch at all.
Yeah, because expectations
come with a chip on your shoulder, you know.
That's right.
So anyway,
had a grilled cheese sandwich this week.
Kind of keeping it in football and sports.
Yeah.
I want to commend Miss Gail Benson, owner of the Saints. Mm. She went into the Walmarts in New Orleans area, parish area, and paid off 400 Christmas layaways.
Oh, that's awesome! Nice.
She paid off 400 Christmas layaways.
It's kind of like payback.
Not to be outdone, rocker Kid Rock went into Nashville and paid off $81,000
I did not like him when he hit the scene, but mm-hmm. the more I learn about him, the more I like him. He is a true American bad butt, to paraphrase his album. He is exactly what an American should be. He is cocky because you need it thrown in your face, sometimes you have to be reminded. There's a reason why we're number one in the world.
That's right.
Because we will kick that booty.
And we'll do that. Put a boot up your butt.
Yeah. Turns out he's got a fantastic singing voice. Duet that he did with Sheryl Crow, the country song.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Now, Kid Rock's got a great voice, and he did the Sweet Home Alabama all summer long.
That is by far the best version I've ever heard of Sweet Home Alabama or Werewolves of London.
You hadn't heard the 50 Cent version?
No.
Now, who composed that, though? Was he involved in matching those two songs together?
Yeah, he got his start as an actual DJ, not these morons that people hire, you know, to come in and play their iPod for $300 a pop. He would actually have multiple turntables and would mix hip-hop songs with, like, hard rock. He would be doing, like, Michael Jackson and slip in Metallica with it and make it work.
Well, here's a...
And that's how he got his start, is he was doing DJing, like, Prince's parties up in Minneapolis.
Here's a food theme that's got Kid Rock in it.
Yeah.
But it's also got Bill Anderson, Gretchen Wilson, and Tanya Tucker. It's the Waffle House Christmas song. And it just come out. Chris Rock is in the background. He's cooking.
Uh-huh.
And Gretchen Wilson is one of the waitresses too.
Yeah, she drunk.
And he's eating half the food he cooks and puts it on their plate. And then Bill Anderson
whispering Bill Anderson
and Tanya Tucker sitting at the counter eating. But it's a Bill Anderson song. But I thought it was pretty cool.
Was the name again?
Waffle House Christmas, something like that. But
that sounds like an instant classic.
Well, we've talked through one segment.
But I want to. Oh, yeah. I want to talk about DeMarcus Cousins.
We'll do it when we come back. Okay. We got a commercial. We got to pay some bills. 343-0106 or text us.
Yes. We want to hear from you today.
You somebody.
You can get anything you want at Alice's Restaurant. You can get anything you want at Alice's Restaurant. Walk right in, it's around the back, just a half a mile from the railroad track. And you can get anything you want at Alice's Restaurant.
To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
Hey guys. Hey, Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Yeah. Hey.
Hey, Bill. Merry Christmas.
Hey, Jenny. Merry Christmas to you. You look like there may be something bothering you.
Oh, man. It has been a day already. They have run a rookie cook in on me from somewhere between you and me. Looks like a musician to me. They don't know nothing about cooking. You going to have the usual?
Yeah. Just the usual.
Scattered, smothered, and covered, chunked. This ought to be good.
Mama burned a turkey and Daddy set the tree on fire. Dog started barking, the kids started crying like an out-of-tune Christmas choir. Sister grabbed the baby, Becky grabbed Bubba, and Bubba grabbed a six-pack of beer. We headed for the motel, I guess Norman Rockwell won't be painting us this year. It's gonna be a good old-fashioned Waffle House Christmas.
They just don't write them like that anymore.
They sure don't. Brand new
friends. Buddy of mine getting ready to go to Hartsell, Alabama, when I lived in Nashville. We're going to do a weekend of fishing in his old hometown. We stopped to get his car washed, you know, because you want a nice, clean car for a road trip. Little Jimmy Dickens was there.
I'm in there.
Getting his Cadillac washed in the little Jimmy Dickens outfit. A hat as tall as he was.
Oh, wow.
The flower-embroidered jacket, the boots that matched.
Did y'all get an autograph?
No. I'm not an autograph person, and I learned in Nashville.
I'm not either.
Don't mess like with a man when he's getting his car washed.
Yeah, just leave people alone. Yeah. You know, they've got regular lives to lead. And
they appreciate it more when you're
and that's
alone.
A cute video. Google that one if you want a fun morning.
Yeah. You know, that was one of the things that I did love about Nashville. I'd be sitting at a red light, and I'd look over, and I forget the guy's name, but the bass singer from the Statler Brothers was in the car next to me.
Oh, okay.
And Garth Brooks would get bored and just get out in his truck and just drive all around Music Row, stop at red lights, roll the window down, and just ask people for directions, even though he knew where everything was. he was trying to
be a normal guy, huh?
Garth Brooks is a very cool person in real life. He is just – none of it has gone to his head. He's just a good old country boy from Oklahoma who happens to be a multi-millionaire.
I'd rather hang out with his wife and cook.
Trisha?
I'd rather hang out with Trisha in her kitchen and cook.
One of the things that because I worked as a country music DJ many years ago, what I liked about the country artists is that if they happened to be passing through town, they were just as likely to pull up in the parking lot, knock on the door, and come in and visit with you. And, of course, naturally, you did a little interview and played their latest record, which was the purpose of their visit.
Right.
But most of them were truly fine, you know, down to earth somewhere. People.
They start out as normal people.
Waylon Jennings, who was a real, well, I can't say the adjective.
I understand.
But my favorite country artist is Waylon Jennings. Love his music.
Oh, yeah, I love his music.
I was Charlie Pride.
And then my Charlie Pride's good, too.
I had a mother-in-law that fell in love with him when she first heard him on the radio.
Yeah. Did it change when she finally saw the third album cover?
Yeah.
Okay.
But anyway.
And Charlie was such a talent.
So you were wanting to yak about something?
But, you know, Kid Rock being in Nashville, you know, normal person. You know, I know he's gotten in a lot of fights at Waffle Houses over the years, but... Yeah. You know, just defending his honor. But our local hero here, one of our local people,
Mike, homeboy, I'm not a hero.
I'm not talking about you, Stu.
Oh, okay.
DeMarcus Cousins. DeMarcus Cousins of Golden State Warriors. They took 100 school kids here in Mobile this weekend and gave them $200 each and went on a Christmas shopping spree. So, man, that's, you know, it's great to come back to your hometown,
right,
and do these things for your community and for those who need it. And
you know, another sports star that has been vilified, especially by your kindred friends in the Alabama nation and mm-hmm. people of Florida and Mississippi State, not big fans, Cam Newton, goes over and above anything anyone should ever do.
Well, I've always admired Cam Newton.
He is so philanthropic, and was before he ever became a name. There's a great story when he first showed up at Auburn. Nobody knew who he was. You know, he wasn't a star yet.
Yeah.
And he went to the local elementary school there near the school, and the principal's telling the story that you couldn't find this article anywhere in the state of Alabama. I found it in the Chattanooga News.
Mm-hmm.
And the principal said, I arrived at work one morning, 7:30, and there's this giant black man waiting at the front door for me. And I went, oh, what is this? And he said, ma'am, you've never heard of me. My name's Cameron Newton. I'm a football player at Auburn, but I've always been interested in helping kids who are struggling, inner city youth and all of that. Are there any kids at this school that I could come in, you know, once a week and just mentor?
Mm-hmm.
And she gave him a list of them. And Cam busted their chops, too. Hey, how come I see this incomplete here on your homework, man?
Mm-hmm.
You got to get the homework done. And his major was child psychology.
Yeah,
His dream has been to open a chain of high-end daycares so that underprivileged people can afford to put their children in decent daycare.
Cool.
And, you know, there's a lot of that going on. Derek
Henry?
No. Played linebacker at Alabama in the 80s and 90s.
Derek Thomas?
Yes. No one knew how philanthropic he was until after his car accident. He passed away. And it came out, this guy was giving away hundreds of thousands of dollars a month just to help people.
Yeah.
And
people do that. People.
And the true philanthropic people don't want you to know they're doing it.
Yeah.
Like Derek Thomas, you know. And we've spoken before both about Alec Naiman and Bob Omansky being those kind of men.
Oh, yeah.
And this is the time of year for that.
Yeah.
You know, really, because this is a tough time of year on a lot of people emotionally, financially. I have a cold.
But, you know, these people who need help right now, they need it year-round.
Yeah.
And not just the holidays.
Right.
They need it year-round.
Yeah.
They really do. But we only seem to be charitable
right
during the holidays.
Yeah.
Why not year-round?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Exactly.
You make it work. Even if you're a modest means, you can find somebody somewhere, and without looking very hard, they could use a little help.
Yeah, you know, absolutely.
And do that.
That's it, man.
So, but, Michael, you know, I went to Crestview, Florida Friday.
Yeah, tell me about that.
The surgeon that saved my life has relocated his practice to Okaloosa County. It's got some, you know, some benefits living in Florida for him and his family that he didn't have in Alabama. It was the right choice to make.
Brandon's kidney doctor did that, too.
Right. No income tax, state income tax for one thing.
Well, actually, it's some of the health care benefits that they have that really drew them over there.
Yeah.
But he's done so much work on my innards that really no other doctor will touch me. So wherever he goes, that's where I've got to go. And, you know, workers' comp is going to take care of it and reimburse the travel. And, you know, it's nothing but it takes a day. By the way, everything checked out. We went there thinking that I had a small hernia that was getting larger. Turns out it isn't. It's tiny. He said, let's just let it roll a year.
Let it roll.
But I'm sitting here thinking, I am starving. You know, I had to get up at 6:30 in the morning to be at a doctor's appointment at 9:30, you know, which is 100 miles away. So I just skip breakfast and everything. Mm-hmm. Starving when I get out of the doctor's office right around noon. And I go, restaurants near me. Now, I lived at Crestview 13 years ago for a while, and there was nothing there.
Yeah.
Except Hideaway Pizza, which was a great pizza place. And then some wing shop, and everything else was chains and not good examples of those chains.
Yeah.
The Applebee's there, one of the worst Applebee's I've been to. The Hooters there, one of the worst. A miserable place to eat. Not the same now. Crestview has Dr. Mason was telling me they've got a Neapolitan pizza restaurant that has a certificate from Naples that they're doing it right.
Yeah.
That they're upholding all traditions. And as far as they're concerned in Italy, that's an Italian pizzeria doing it right.
Cool.
But what I found was Nelly's Lumpia on Wheels.
Lumpia? What's a lumpia?
Lumpia are the, our friend, the kid chef did them on Chopped.
Oh, Eliana.
Yes. The spring rolls, the Filipino spring rolls that she did to win it.
Yeah.
I fell in love with them when Ang Bahay was open in Spring Hill.
Yeah.
They are the best spring rolls you'll ever have, mainly because it's just meat inside. They have some that also have cabbage, but the main ones are just this pork.
Kind of like, they kind of look like a skinny flautas.
Very similar to a flauta.
Yeah.
But then they also had some that had cabbage and cheese in them, and cheese is not something you find in other Asian cuisine. That's what I love about Filipino cuisine, mm-hmm. is all that Spanish influence, because they were a Spanish colony for 200 years. Mm-hmm. It really, their cuisine is set apart from everything else in Southeast Asia. It's different. And so I got a dozen lumpia. A dozen lumpia.
Were hungry.
Yeah. Well, I didn't eat them all. I did eat
six. You know, when I was a pharmaceutical rep, a lot of doctors were from the Philippines in that area of Florida, in the Florida Panhandle. Mm. And so it made sense. When I saw that post, it made sense there would be probably a good bit of Filipino food over there.
It was terrific. Terrific
food. I've yet to go to a real Filipino restaurant. So,
well, I think there's one in Pensacola.
Someone came on Facebook and said there's one right over here.
In Mobile?
In Mobile. I forget where it's at. I'll find it, though.
Yeah, we got to go to a break, folks. 343-0106. Text or call. We don't care. We'll talk at you.
To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
City and Cottage Hill.
Yeah, we're coming on without the liners. Right there, I can't find them.
Okay, that's okay. University and Cottage Hill.
Here by the small market.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Wall Market. Those are the worst grocery stores.
I like them.
They're always dirty, and they are usually...
Because they're always busy.
And usually, hi, I'm Simon Majumdo,
hey,
and I'm telling you to listen to Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu. It's the best food show on the radio.
He didn't ask him. He told him.
He said, told
I'm telling you.
That's right.
He commanded with his British tenor voice. Welsh, I should say. Welsh voice.
When you have that kind of like accent, is your IQ always 20 or 30 points higher than anybody
else? I don't know, but I was telling Heather the other day, I was singing along with probably a Pink Floyd song, and I said, when I was in bands, we all sang with English accents.
Uh-huh.
And she said, that's ridiculous. And why did y'all do that? I said, well, every band that we listened to was English. You know, Pink Floyd, mm-hmm. Led Zeppelin, you know, so much influence from that. Most of the bands were. But one of our friends also observed that if you sing with an English accent, all of your diction is automatically taken care of. You enunciate properly.
Did it help you pick up ladies?
No, I didn't speak with one. I just sang with it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I didn't have any luck picking up ladies as a singer.
That's what I meant, though. If you sing with a British accent, you're more likely to meet somebody.
If I had a British accent,
I know you can't answer
that. I would say, in my experience, no. Oh.
If I had a British accent, I'd never shut up.
Well, you're close as it is.
I am hit and miss with it. I'll see, like, there'll be some woman on the TV. I'll go, my gosh, she's beautiful. And then that Cockney accent from London will fall out. I'm like, nope. I'm sorry. I'd rather be celibate.
Some
English accents, depending on where they're from, are very nice. But there are some that just. But Irish and Scottish are always cool.
I'd like Aussie accents.
Mm-hmm.
Australian accents.
Yeah.
And Swedish, as a matter of fact. I don't know why.
Swedish?
Not much German, Swedish. But I like Swedish accents. Mm. Oh, well.
They're very similar,
but
the Swedish are happier.
There ain't nothing better than a drippy, sweeter than honey, dripping honey, southern girl accent. That's the best.
So I don't know. There's some of those romance language accents that are pretty nice. Sofia Vergara's voice is just adorable. It really is. Not necessarily attractive, but adorable. It makes me laugh whenever she speaks.
Other than that, where else, did you go out anywhere else to eat?
Yeah, we ate at Rock and Roll Sushi.
Uh-huh, I saw that.
And I had the fish tacos. I like a fish taco. That's a good thing. And, you know, at least once a week or so, we'll venture up to Hickory Pit. And I told you last week we went to Moe's Barbecue. They had one of the best burgers we've ever had.
Wow.
On a Saturday, their smoked burger on Saturdays.
Hey, Stu, go back to the sushi place for a second.
Yeah.
How did they prepare the fish for the tacos?
It was tempura.
Fried or was
it was red snapper dipped into tempura batter and deep fried.
Oh, okay. So it was more a typical. It wasn't some.
Yeah, but all the, you know, tempura is a Japanese form of cooking.
Right.
And then the dressing and everything on it was sesame and soy. And well, it was very good. Last time it seems like I had them, it was the fried wonton shells. This time it was a regular tortilla shell. Mm-hmm. It was still terrific.
We ate it the other night. We went to Gambino's and ate because Gene Murrell was playing there, piano guy. And Scott Morlock was out of town. And so Gene came in and played. Very entertaining. Always exciting. And we went around Fairhope to avoid the Christmas parade. So we got to Gambino's, and they were packed as always. You know, they've just done a phenomenal job for years. And I commend Rick Gambino for, you know, we've had Richie on the show.
Yeah.
But I commend Rick for letting his boys come in there and run the business. Mm-hmm. Josh has done a phenomenal job building that restaurant. And I had the prime rib. I'm going to tell you what, it had a nice little bark on the outside.
Uh-huh.
And it was cooked perfectly, and it stayed warm all the way till the last bite.
It does if you eat fast.
You can't eat too fast.
You ate your prime rib with a straw, I know you.
But Lulu, she had a shrimp Alfredo.
Mm-hmm.
It was delicious, too. You get your money's worth there. You really do get your money's worth. Oh, and they had Brussels sprouts, of course, with the, you know, cooked in bacon and all that. Oh, God, it's so good. But one little place I want to talk about I went to the other day. I went to it's a little place that got several of them in Baldwin County now in Pensacola, and hopefully one's coming up. Well, it's called Whacked Out Weenie.
Yeah.
And he's
Wiener or Weenie?
Whacked Out Wiener, I think.
Okay.
Great, you know, just a great concept what he's got going on. The weenies that snap when you bite into them.
Yeah.
They're not that red dye number two, you know, that's ugly looking as hell. I'm sorry.
It's baloney.
It's horrible looking, but theirs is phenomenal. They use a certain type of bun and a certain type of weenie on their hot dogs, and you can dress it up any way you want to. Love their T-shirts. I love their logo. But I want to get this guy on who started it because he's got a story and how he was doing all this one day, very successful, and then cancer hits him.
Mm-hmm.
And then I want to get the true story. I'm just telling what I know. Mm-hmm. But he had a bout with cancer, and it changed his life. He wanted to start living.
Yeah, I know that feeling.
And you would know, and for sure. But I want to get him on the show one morning and talk about, you know, his what he did before. I like the personal stories.
Yeah.
But I love to hear his story.
Like especially the Olympics. That's what people like about the Olympics. Not so much the competition, but they like learning the stories of each of the athletes. And so do I. It's one of the things, you know, I don't watch a lot of college basketball.
Mm-hmm.
But I love March Madness.
Yeah.
I enjoy the stories, and I enjoy the upsets that throw people's brackets out.
You know, it's just ESPN. They do those personal shows, stories in the morning before they do the for Nick Corso makes somebody mad with his predictions. Mm-hmm. They do the personal stories, and but particularly if there's health and issues involved, and challenges they've had along the way. And everybody's had challenges along the way, but. But
Warwick Dunn, who was played for Florida State and Tampa Bay Buccaneers, was an example.
Mm-hmm.
He had to raise his brothers and sisters because his mother was a law enforcement officer who was killed in the line of duty.
Oh, that's horrible!
And he, in high school, raised the rest of them. Went on to college, raised them. Then when he got in the NFL, he was able to take care of everybody.
Yeah,
and he was. I always enjoyed his story.
He was driven.
Yeah,
he was.
Especially and a fun little running back to watch too.
I bet.
Charlie's breaking out the crackers in the granola.
Did you bring enough for everybody?
There's six crackers in the pack.
Yeah, I just set them over there so I wouldn't forget to eat them.
I got some Fig Newtons out in the car.
I just refuse when I've got the stuff at home. I just refuse to go upstairs to the vending machines and pay triple.
I understand.
Here's something for you on the Fig Newtons.
What's that?
They are from Newton, Massachusetts. They are not named after the physicist.
Okay. Do they actually have figs in them?
I never knew that anyway. But
well, yeah, it's just a fig paste.
Yeah.
And it's like zero calories in the thing. So
in the filling, not in the
there has
the
to be some
part.
Sugar. I'd be eating them all the time.
They're delicious. I love fig preserves.
Fig Newtons and Snapple was what got me through Old Testament class at Belmont.
Oh, okay.
Because it was at 7:30 in the morning.
What was the Christmas song that referred to figgy pudding?
Oh, bring us a figgy pudding. Oh, bring us
Bing Crosby sung that song.
Really?
Wish you a Merry Christmas.
Yes,
that,
thank
that
you.
Was it. Oh, yes. I woke up this morning trying
introduced
to remember
introduced Heather the other night. Charlie, you'll appreciate this too. I said, have you ever seen Holiday Inn? She'd never even heard of Holiday Inn. I said, forget every other Christmas movie you've ever seen. Mm-hmm. None of them compare because they were all trying to emulate it. I said, especially, I know a lot of people love It's a Wonderful Life, and it is a good story, but a Christmas movie should be a musical to be a full-blast Christmas mm-hmm. movie.
Holiday
and
Inn.
It's not, but Holiday Inn, Bing Crosby, Fred Astaire. Oh, my gosh. So she got to see it, and every scene change was, look at that dress.
Mm-hmm.
The next scene changed. Oh, my gosh, look at that
well,
dress.
Which one was the one with Danny Kaye?
That was a White Christmas that followed it up. That was in color.
Yeah.
It was set post-World War II.
Yeah.
And Rosemary Clooney was also in that one.
Yeah.
In fact, she does a ballad in this, a melancholy ballad called Love You Didn't Do Right By Me.
Mm-hmm.
Steals the entire movie. It is one of the best jazz performances ever captured on film. Just beautiful song. Her voice was just perfect for it.
Rosemary Clooney?
Yes.
Come on to my house. My house, come on. That's yeah. the first song I remember her doing.
Yeah. But Heather.
You see, those were the glamour days.
Yeah,
you
know, Heather enjoyed some of the campy. We now would look at that and say the way they spoke was campy and the gags were campy, but that's just. And I told her, I said, that's just the way people spoke in the 1930s and 40s.
Because
mm-hmm. there's one scene where she goes, say, I came here for an audition.
Is that is that right, Charlie?
What?
Is that how y'all spoke in the 30s?
I don't know about the 30s.
But I think we now have a new
I'm
holiday
turn your
tradition.
Mic off, Mike. We won't hear from him the rest of the show.
I haven't seen Polar Express,
mm-hmm.
but
I have.
Word has it, Saturday the 15th, I believe that's this Saturday, right?
Mm-hmm.
From 4 to 8 p.m. at the Mama Goldberg's in Saraland, they're having an ugly Christmas sweater party. If you wear an ugly Christmas sweater in, they're going to give you 20% off. And they're going to have Polar Express playing at 4 and again at 6 on their big screen. So if
cool.
you want to bring the kiddies in.
Okay.
And that's the Mama Goldberg's in Saraland, which is across from Walmart, behind Regions Bank and Whataburger.
Is that an animated movie?
Yes.
Yeah.
Digital animation. It looks fantastic. I've just never gotten around to seeing it.
Yeah, you'll love the movie.
It's a good movie. I've seen
great
it
story
a couple times, as yeah. a matter of fact. But, you know, just
Hallmark Channel has a Christmas marathon going, too.
Yeah, I watched a terrible one sitting in the doctor's office the other day. It was a mashup of Groundhog Day and Scrooged, both Bill Murray movies, but with a woman playing the lead role. And not well written or acted.
Who came up with that concept?
Lifetime Network.
I guess.
Oh my God!
Yeah.
But Hallmark
their movies,
movies
are always terrible.
I mean, they're doing a month long marathon.
Yeah.
So
of every
have some,
yeah, but the every one of them
questionable.
Every one of them are the same plot. Every one of those Hallmark movies are the same
well,
plot.
You
Lifetime.
You want to hope it
or both of them. Both,
yeah. You
want to
hope
stations.
It has a happy ending and that the yeah. kids get the presents they so richly deserve.
Well, I love Miracle. Was it Miracle at
42nd Street?
42nd. I couldn't
the
remember.
The original
42nd or 42nd.
With Natalie Wood,
with
or
Natalie
the
Wood.
Second one with Natalie Wood.
The original one with Natalie Wood.
Where she's
Wood.
The little girl.
Yeah,
yeah.
yeah.
That's and that one. Was. Oh my gosh, who was Santa in that one, Charlie?
I don't know. It was this guy with these white whiskers and
yeah, and a little bit chubby.
Yeah, okay. a little on the
but Sebastian
side.
Cabot played him in the mm-hmm. remake.
Okay.
When Natalie Wood was an adult and played the mother of the little girl.
Sebastian but had the body for it.
Yeah, Sebastian Cabot from whatever that show was that mm-hmm. he was on. With the main thing everyone remembers is the little girl's doll.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I remember the cane by the fireplace.
Yeah.
In the house.
Yeah. But so next is White Christmas.
Yeah.
And another one, you know, you always bring up is Die Hard a Christmas movie, and you assert that it is. The other one I would throw out there is Trading Places with Dan Aykroyd and
right.
Eddie Murphy.
Absolutely.
I want to tell you all, Scrooge was right. I'm subscribed to that.
Bah humbug.
All right. 343-0106, you can call us or you can text us.
Hey, we do it Facebook Live if you want to see what I look like with a runny nose.
Or if you just want to listen, that's okay too.
Yeah.
To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
This is Chef Tawny Carter from the Prop and Gavel in Monroeville, and you're listening to The Sip and Chew.
The Sip and Chew. So Monroeville gets it right. You go to the Walmart, you get the influenza, you listen to The Sip and Chew. Monroeville gets it. Tawny is adorable, and her little baby is growing up.
Well, let's go to the Thomas
in Theodore to talk about the Maritime
I am
Museum.
Really curious about this, what his comment is.
What is your question, Thomas? Or
yes, good morning, folks. I was wondering, I heard tell Stimson down there, a mayor and the city council, they're talking about 3 weeks ago about putting a restaurant in the Maritime Museum. That a hunk of cement that doesn't float, it to boost the revenue. And I remember when we built the government building, they're going to put a high-end restaurant, and it didn't work out. And I was wondering what you fellas thought would be a good way to approach that. What type of a restaurant would be good? Look, I was thinking maybe a franchise, you know, like McDonald's. or Subways. Or
no, it's got to have Wild Gulf shrimp, Thomas.
High class for us.
Yeah, it's got to be a seafood restaurant. If it's in the Maritime Museum.
Featuring local seafood.
Yeah, I would say. Hey, Chris Sherrill and I are available, Sandy. Chris Sherrill and I come in there and help you work up a menu now.
I had not heard about it.
I've been very busy this week.
You could help us out. Because Sandy has a lot of trouble. He's so mad now at the city council, he wants to cut all the trees down in Bienville Square.
Not all of them, just the ones that are hollowed out and deceased.
Yeah, those water oaks.
We'll see what he does.
Yeah, the city of Sims has cut some in my yard. Yeah, for the same reason. But, Thomas, I think it certainly couldn't hurt attendance, especially if they do it right and have a restaurant that people want to go to.
Worth walking across the railroad tracks to get to.
Yeah. And you know, they are beautifying Water Street to get it ready for pedestrian traffic, and it may work perfectly once they get all that done.
I don't know. Traffic's bad enough on Water Street, and now they're going to take a lane away to have bicycle and pedestrian traffic. And, I mean, the thing that aggravates me about our city is how they've industrialized so much of the waterfront there. We don't really have access. We've got Cooper Riverside Park. There's a whole lot you cannot do there.
They're looking to redo that. And, Thomas, thank you for calling in with that information.
Thank you, Thomas.
Thank you for the time.
But the GovQuest, it's hard to get to. You got to cross the railroad tracks.
Yeah.
And then when a train comes by.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
It just creates chaos.
Yeah. And when I was working downtown, you know, I turn off of St. Michael onto water and have to make that U-turn to get back to where I'm going because there was no left turn there. And the people wanting to turn left to get into the convention center don't seem to realize that if the train is there, you don't just sit in the left turn lane for 20 minutes waiting on the train to move. It's illegal to stop traffic to make a left turn.
Yeah.
If you can't turn in the convention center because of the train, your option is you got to make a U-turn and go somewhere else.
Well, and the same thing
I used to have to pass everyone in the left turn lane because they didn't realize you can't stop traffic to make a left turn.
Right.
Well, you get about 30 seconds, and after that, you can be ticketed for it.
Same thing happens at the cruise terminal.
Yeah.
There was a lady we know that took a cruise on the Fantasy recently, and called up a mutual friend and said, I'm sitting in this line for 20 minutes now, and mm-hmm. nobody's moved because the train had stopped.
Mm-hmm. You know. Oh, I've seen it. I've seen it on Friday afternoons.
And if the train happens to hit a car or something.
Oh, it's hours.
It's hours then because they've got to bring in the inspectors and mm-hmm. the federal agents.
What's that neighborhood, Navco, that only has one entrance? Down Navco Road.
Yeah.
I can't think of the name of it.
Yeah, it's on a lot of the beautiful houses on the bay there. It's only one way in and one way out, but I forgot where it's going. But,
okay, that's cool.
You jumped the track?
Yeah, my mind jumped the track. But, Charleston, Savannah. Mm-hmm. Savannah, they got train tracks along their waterfront there, but that's part of the tourist attraction of that. I don't think that would be much of a tourist attraction.
No, it's annoying.
It's very annoying.
And that's, you know, that's why you and I have talked about wanting to do a po' boy throwdown
mm-hmm.
to raise money for some charity. If there's a charity out there looking for something, we got an idea. Contact mm-hmm. us. But we're looking at Arlington Park, you know, in the Brookley complex, so we don't have to deal with that train because I've been to a number of the festivals we have at Cooper Riverside, and the train screws it up.
Yeah.
It, you know, it always comes through in the middle of this thing, stops everyone. No one can get in or out of Cooper Riverside Park for 20 minutes.
Or more.
And that's why I'm saying take it to Arlington. You know, that's a beautiful park, too, out there at Brookley.
Oh, I've been there. It is.
Yeah, it is one of your hidden gems, Mike. All right, real quick, talk about your product for Christmas that you're recommending.
Look, folks, you know.
And remember, I got to say one, too, so snappy.
Food is a great way to get somebody's heart, soul, whatever. Makes great Christmas gifts. I recommend going up to Wind Creek, and you could probably get a gift certificate in this. But the cooking classes,
oh, a fantastic idea.
Cooking classes, give somebody cooking lessons
at Wind Creek. Their facility is fantastic.
Oh, they do have. It's like a
theater,
it's a theater, yes.
Yeah, it is designed specifically so that you can see it. And my recommendation is everyone, you know, wants a good set of knives.
Yeah.
And I can tell you, if you want a good set of knives, it'll cost you between $100 and $150.
Mm-hmm.
But all you need is one great knife.
Yeah.
But either way, I would go with Wusthof.
Wusthof.
Wusthof out of Germany. We got to use them at World Food Championships. I've had them in my knife bag for years. They are one of the best knife makers on planet Earth. That's why they've been around for decades upon decades. Their knives are unbelievable. And like I say, I've got several. I think Heather and I, our steak knives now, are Wusthof.
Wusthof.
Wusthof. Yeah. Looks like Wusthof. Pronounce Wusthof.
Right.
Just go to their website, Wusthof.com. Also, Wusthof Trident is like a line of theirs. You can spend $100, $150 to get somebody a good knife set, mm-hmm. or you can spend $100 to get them one great knife that they'll never need anything
else. What about the cookware y'all used?
Oh, the Gotham Steel? Oh, my gosh, yeah, that I talked about last week.
Yeah.
I love that stuff. It is not like your other late-night TV pans. These things, chefs love these things. They cook great.
I'm thinking about getting some of that. Yeah. All my pans are wearing out.
Are they coated?
Needs a new pans.
They are ceramic bonded to titanium.
No.
Wow.
And ceramic is one of the best cooking surfaces in the world because it's nonstick, and you can get it high enough to engage what we say the Maillard reaction, which is the caramelization. Getting the brown stuff on the outside, your crust on your burger.
And no carcinogens.
No carcinogens like you get with Teflon and the other nonstick substances out there. Ceramic is thousands of years old.
Well, Stu, we got to go. Everything's fine out there at Heroes by University of South Alabama.
Go get a burger.
No big old fire out there. Everything's fine. They're operating. Go out there and support them. See all the football there is today. Support local. Be local. Buy local.
Yeah, that's a good point. I like that
and
idea.
And this is a good time of year to increase the tip to
Let's increase that
and
tip a little bit.
Be patient with everyone in the service industry retail because they are getting the snot kicked out of them.
They are right now for sure.
And probably more than half the people they deal with are Scrooge.
Yes, they are.
Yeah, they're just in bad moods.
Year-round. Year-round Scrooges. So, Sue, provolone.
Provolone, buddy.